Unsealed, a look behind the scenes.
The exhibition, Unsealed, is hosted at Hardwick Hall, one of the most splendid houses in England. Looking at Hardwick Hall alone explains why Bess, who built and inhabited the house in the final years of her life, has often been called formidable. And Hardwick Hall was the place the Letters of Bess of Hardwick team from Glasgow visited in preparation for the exhibition. Here I got insider information about Bess and her family, and opened secret doors to exciting rooms into which the house staff led me. In this bonus podcast, you too can join in the fun. When I first got to Hardwick Hall, I quizzed the house manager, Dr. Nigel Wright, about everyone who had lived there. In the long gallery, we came across the portrait of the young Bess, and I asked Nigel, who probably knows Bess and her history better than anyone else, for a bit of gossip.
This is the young redhead who went to court in London as a lady-in-waiting for another member of her family and obviously flirted like mad with the gentleman whose portrait sits just above, William Cavendish. The two did seem to click. He'd been married before and had children from a previous marriage, but he didn't have any male heirs. It must have been quite scandalous at the time because, say, she wasn't of a well-known family. She wasn't particularly wealthy. And yet, one of the most important men at court chooses her as his next wife. But it did seem to be a generally happy marriage. They had 8 children, 6 of whom survived into adulthood, and the present Dukes of Devonshire at Chatsworth trace their lineage right back to this pair here.
The gallery also contains the Gideon tapestries, which Bess was very proud of when she moved to Hardwick Hall years later, by then definitely a wealthy woman. So imagine my surprise when I heard that Bess had heckled for them.
But the tapestries are wonderful because there's lots of stories about them. They were bought secondhand by the Countess of Shrewsbury, and she got a discount because the original person who had them made was a gentleman called Sir Christopher Hatton, and he had his coat of arms on these tapestries. But she couldn't possibly put these tapestries into her wonderful new house here at Hardwick. So she simply tacked a bit of material over the top of his coat of arms with her coat of arms painted on the top. She got a £5 discount off the total, over £300 the set. Mm. But she got a £5 discount just because she had to put her own coat of arms on top.
If you have been to Hardwick Hall, you will know that there are tapestries everywhere and carpets, and there are very tall windows. And it just made me wonder who cared for all these objects. After all, they need to be cleaned, but without destroying them. They are several hundred years old. Conservation assistant Lucy told me more about her work.
The type of thing that we're looking out for are carpet beetle, woodworm, moth, that all might cause damage to the collection. Usually kind of during the summer months, we'll get quite a few in the windowsills, just like you get insects in your windowsills at home. We have much bigger windows here.
Do you know how tall the windows are?
On the top floor, they are really, really huge windows, the full height of the rooms.
So where does all the dust come from if no one lives here?
130,000 visitors a year. As well as the actual building is made of stone, so we get quite a lot of stone dust around in the house. We have conservation hoovers for vacuuming the textiles. Mm-hmm. The conservation hoovers have variable suction, so you can turn the suction down really, really low. It's kind of barely detectable, but it's just enough just to pick the dust up from surface of textiles without causing any damage to the textile.
And how would Bess of Hardwick have her house cleaned? Do you know what they used back then?
Things would have been beaten and brushed, yeah, I suppose. We know they were aware of the effects of insects and moisture and light on their textiles because Bess wrote, I think it was in her will, asking people to protect her textiles from wet and moth. And so I assume they covered them up as well in rooms where they weren't using them.
And after wandering around Hardwick Hall for a while, I came across another little room, which is very important for the exhibition. Here I met Lorna, another conservation assistant, who filled me in.
So where are we? I see lots of drawers around us.
We are in the muniment room, and it's an amazing room. It's the best room in the house for me to work in. The muniment room is the room that was the most important place for Bess to keep her legal documents relating to her estate, her many areas that she owned. It just emphasises her power and wealth. She managed a lot of tenant farmers, and The areas that she looked after as well are all located and listed in all the boxes in here. Places like the Peak Forest, Chatsworth, Old Hucknall, local villages. She really had a lot of power in this area.
So this is a bit like her office.
Absolutely, it is, yes.
How many drawers are there in here?
492.
Wow. Is there anything in them now?
Unfortunately not, because basically this environment is not very good for paper conservation. So all the documents that were probably parchment back in the day, they've been taken to the archives at Chatsworth and they're in storage, in perfect paper conservation storage there.
Would Bess have been in this room or would she have had servants in here?
I would imagine a clerk would be working in here. That's what really interests me about this room. I can just imagine back in history, somebody working with their spectacles on and looking through all the different files and accounts. It's just an amazing room.
There are some drawers which are bigger than the others. What was in those?
Those were basically settlements, deeds, old plans, so bigger pieces of parchment, maps, things that people needed to sort of really pull out of these big drawers.
And I see that these go from the floor to the ceiling. Would there have been ladders in here?
I'm assuming there would be, yes. We don't have one. It may be at Chatsworth, but I'm sure there would have been one.
If you were to tell someone about this room and just pick one drawer or one object or just one thing where you just go, this is so iconic about this, what would that be?
The door, you know, the big oak door with the iron bars across it, it just emphasises how important this room would have been. You know, it would have been a strong room. People couldn't get in very easily, with it, you know, beyond this big door. Big bolts, you know, to lock it up at night.
So it's maximum security.
Absolutely, yes. I just love the sense of history in this room, the atmosphere, and it's a unique room.
Up the stairs and down again in the very far corner of Hardwick Hall, I finally found the room where our exhibition takes place, Bess's bedchamber. And here's where I asked Nigel Wright for a final interview. His insights into the house and Bess's character brought the room to life.
Of all the huge rooms you have at Hardwick, this is the one that the Countess chose as her own bedchamber. It's got south-facing and west-facing windows, so as much as any room would be warm at Hardwick, this will be. And that was emphasised in the 1601 inventory, the list of objects at Hardwick, because virtually every single item in this room was red. We've got red bed hangings, we've got red curtains. We know that she had at least three floor carpets. She was allowed to stand on a carpet in the morning. So everything about this room was designed not so much for show, it was designed for comfort. But it was also a very busy room because, again, from the inventory, we know that she had a desk in here. She had stools when her grandchildren came. We also know that she had another bed because Bella Stuart, her granddaughter, who had a very good claim to the English throne, also slept in this room. Her parents had died when she was young, so Bella came to live with Granny at Hardwick, and for part of that time she slept in this room with her grandmother because her grandmother needed to keep an eye on her. This is also the room where the Countess would have written or had transcribed a lot of the letters that she wrote. So it's actually a very emotive room because this is where she would have been at her desk. An old lady stooped with candlelight over her desk writing those letters. Not so much enjoying it because we know her final years were marred somewhat by the stresses and strains of her granddaughter, Arbella, who was a difficult child. She was plotting and scheming and she wanted things that the Countess didn't want. So it was a difficult final few years for her. It's quite a domestic sort of feel for her last few years, but not as happy as, you know, you'd like to think they were.
So given that Hardwick Hall is so huge, this would have been the heart of the house for Bess as she was living here.
Yes, this would have been the room that she felt most comfortable in. This was the room surrounded by her own things. It's small enough that you could heat it and it would be quite cosy. She had a private withdrawing chamber next door. And for most of the time in the house, to be honest, she would have spent most of it on these few rooms on the middle floor. She probably wouldn't have gone upstairs, particularly in the autumn and the winter. It was too cold, too windy, too drafty. This is where she would have done her business, written her letters, counted her money, who knows. This was very much the centre of the house as far as the Countess was concerned.
And looking at the inventory, it looks like there was a lot of furniture in here. And you also mentioned that Arbella was sleeping here most of the time. Who else would have passed through this bedroom? It doesn't sound like a bedroom to me.
Well, you've got to remember, of course, in any Elizabethan house, you didn't have corridors. The whole idea of a privacy that we are so used to today, they didn't understand that concept. If you wanted any privacy, you drew the curtains on your bed. Because as well as other family members who would have been around this area, the Countess's lady-in-waiting, any servants if you needed anything, the fire stocked up, any water for a wash, a servant would have to bring all those through to you. So it would always have been quite a busy area and a busy part of the house as well, because this whole end of the house, the south end of the house, would have been used the most, primarily because it was the warmest.
Just one final question. This is after her fourth husband died, and she had lots of trouble with him, and she still had Abella around, and that wasn't quite easy. But do you think Bess was happy here?
Ooh, that's a difficult question. I think she would. She'd have been contented. If you think back to when she was born of a gentry family, but not particularly high status, and over the next 50 years, 60 years, she climbed pretty steadily to the top of English society. She was a countess. She was extremely wealthy. Most of her children had married well, and she knew that her lands were safe, her houses were safe, her beloved Chatsworth was secure. So I think she'd have been contented. Yes, I mean, on a day-to-day basis, whether she saw herself as happy or not, I'm not sure, because, you know, the day-to-day paraphernalia of life always seems to get in the way, but I think she was a contented lady.
I hope you have enjoyed this look behind the scenes. And if you haven't done it yet, do come and see our exhibition. Unsealed, The Letters of Bess of Hardwick. This podcast was written, narrated, and produced by Anke Timmermann. You will find a list of all contributors on our webpage, www.bessofhardwick.org/listen.